Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and I'm looking forward to learning Sefer Melachim Bet together. Today, we're beginning our study of Melachim Bet, Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. Sefer Melachim Bet isn't really a separate Sefer or book from Melachim Aleph. Rather, they were written together as one Sefer by Yirmiyahu HaNavi with one united overarching goal. His reason for writing the Sefer was really to explain why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed during Yirmiyahu's lifetime. The Sefer was only split into two later for convenience purposes so that it wouldn't be too long and cumbersome. But unfortunately, it was split up in the middle of Pirkei Eliyahu, the chapters that describe the life and prophetic career of Eliyahu HaNavi. So as we start Melachim Bet, we're really in the middle of the Eliyahu story, and we're going to pick up exactly where Melachim Aleph left off. At the end of Melachim Aleph, in Perachav Bet, in chapter 22, we are told that after Achav's death, his son Achaziahu succeeded him to the throne and ruled over Malchut Yisrael, the kingdom of Israel, for 2 years. Achaziahu was described as an evil king who followed in the ways of his parents, Achav and Izabel, and in addition to that, in the ways of Yeravam ben Nevat, the first king of Malchut Yisrael. We are told that he worshipped the Baal and he angered God just as his father Achav had. In our parak, in Melachim Bet Parak Aleph, in chapter 1, we see that Hashem punished Achaziahu for his evil behavior in three different ways. The first way appears in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayisha Moav b'Yisrael acharei mot Achav. Achaziahu lost control of Moav when they rebelled against him as soon as Achav died, sensing his weakness as compared to that of his father, who was politically and militarily much stronger than Achaziahu was. Second, in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, we're told, Vayipol Achaziah ba'ad hasvacha be'aliyato asher b'shomron vayachal. Achaziahu fell from the lattice in his attic and became ill as a result. And then, as the parak continues, we will see, ultimately, that Achaziahu dies from that ensuing illness after only 2 years of king, as being king, without any heirs. In fact, we're going to see that his brother took over his kingdom because he didn't have any children of his own. However, before that happens, in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, when Achaziahu first became sick, we're told that his first action was Vayishlach Malachim, Vayomer Aleihem, Lechu Dershu Beva'al Zavuv, Elohei Ekron, Imech Ya'amich Oli Hazeh. Achaziahu sent messengers to Ekron, a Plishti city, to inquire of their god, known as the Baal Zavuv. In fact, William Golding's Nobel Prize-winning novel, The Lord of the Flies, is its namesake, but we'll talk more about that later. And the reason why Achaziahu sent messengers to Ekron to inquire of their god Baal Zavuv, the Lord of the Flies, is to find out whether he will survive his illness or not. However, before Achaziahu's messengers can even reach Ekron to seek out the Baal Zavuv, they were intercepted by none other than Eliyahu HaNavi, who admonished them very strongly in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Hami bli ein Elohim b'Yisrael ashtem holchim lidrosh b'Baal Zavuv Elohei Ekron? Is there no God in Israel that you need to travel to seek out Baal Zavuv, the God of Ekron? And then Eliyahu proceeded to inform Achaziahu's messengers in the next Pasuk, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, that due to this grave sin, Hashem will punish him with death. V'lachin ko'amar Hashem, ha'mita asher alit Hashem lo tirid mimena kimot tamut. Therefore, so says Hashem, the bed upon which you rose, you will not descend from it, for you shall surely die. But it's interesting because what made Achaziahu's sin of seeking out Baal Zavuv so much worse than what Achav had done by worshipping the Baal? Achav wasn't punished so quickly with death. He reigned for 22 years first. So why was Achaziahu punished so swiftly after only 2 years as king? Rav Alex Israel, who is the author of a book on Melachim Bet called Two Kings in a Whirlwind, suggests that, you know, it's one thing and horrible enough that Achav promoted idolatry within Eretz Yisrael. But it was another thing entirely, even more horrible, if we can imagine, for Achaziahu to reach out to a neighboring country in need of its God. Even Yeravam and Achav, two of the worst kings in our history, even they consulted with Nevi'i Hashem, with prophets of God in times of distress. By consulting Baal Zavuv instead of Hashem, Achaziahu sent a message to the surrounding nations that Hashem is not powerful, nor is he relevant, and he can't be relied upon for help. In fact, this is the exact opposite of the way Yemot HaMashiach is described, because in the times of Mashiach, we're told that foreign nations of the world will believe in Hashem and flock to Yerushalayim to serve him. Now, instead, we have a king of Israel moving in the exact opposite direction towards a foreign country and its deity in order to serve that foreign deity. Perhaps it is this opposite direction which kind of explains the real horrible thing that Achaziahu is doing now. When Ahaziah's messengers return to Ahaziahu to inform him of Eliyahu's nevuah, they made two pretty slight but still significant changes in their recounting of what Eliyahu had told them. The first is that whereas Eliyahu had blamed them, the messengers, in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, for going out to seek Baal Zavuv, atem holchem lidrosh b'Baal Zavuv Elohei Ekron, you, in plural, are going to consult Baal Zavuv, the god of Ekron, the messengers themselves blamed only Ahaziahu for going out to seek Baal Zavuv, in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, apparently glossing over their own involvement in the mission and blaming only the king, atasholeach lidrosh b'Baal Zavuv Elohei Ekron, you, in singular, are sending to consult Baal Zavuv, the god of Ekron. The second small difference is that whereas Eliyahu first blames the messengers and only afterward quotes Hashem with a Koamar Hashem as punishing Ahaziahu, the messengers themselves begin by quoting Hashem, using the same phrase as Koamar Hashem, implying that everything is from Hashem, including not only Ahaziahu's punishment, but also the rebuke for seeking out Baal Zavuv in the first place. Now, why did the messengers make these changes when addressing the king? As slight as they are, they still have a slight difference in meaning. And perhaps it's because they themselves, as the messengers, experience a dramatic reversal. Originally, they were the king's messengers, and they were sent out to seek out Baal Zavuv on his behalf. However, after speaking to Eliyahu, they retrace their steps now in the opposite direction, returning to the king on Eliyahu's behalf. Now, they're no longer Ahaziahu's messengers, but they're Hashem's messengers in order to bring Hashem's word to Ahaziahu. Therefore, the messengers themselves are no longer to blame since they're no longer seeking out Baal Zavuv, and they are obviously involved in a tshuva process in which they are reversing their original sin, and now they're acting on Hashem's behalf. That leaves only Ahaziahu, who had sent them in the first place, as being the one to blame. Furthermore, the messengers understand that the divine punishment directed at Ahaziahu was a result of his sending them in the first place, and that it all came from Hashem. Not just the punishment, but the sending of itself being wrong, that was all from Hashem. And in this way, Hashem really demonstrates his control over Ahaziahu's messengers, as opposed to the control that originally Ahaziahu himself had and Baal Zavuv had. Now that control is being transferred to Hashem himself. In response to hearing this prophetic message about his impending death, Ahaziahu sought to identify the Navi who delivered this terrible message to him. And so he asks his messengers to describe the Navi. And they described him as follows in Pasuchet, verse 8. Ish ba'al se'ar ve'ezor or azor b'matnav. A hairy man with a leather belt girded around his hips. Vayomer, and Ahaziahu responded, Eliyahu and Hatishbihu, he knew immediately from their physical description that they had been intercepted by none other than Eliyahu and Navi. Upon identifying Eliyahu, Ahaziahu sought to kill him, just as his mother Izebel had threatened to kill Eliyahu several years earlier when she also disliked his message. Because it seems that in pagan societies at the time, harming or killing a Navi was viewed as effectively nullifying his nevuah, kind of like the phrase, kill the messenger, kill the message. Unfortunately, this thinking has now permeated Malchut Yisrael society too. Originally, it came from Izebel, a Sidoni princess. But now, because Izebel became queen of Malchut Yisrael, it seems that her own son has learned this lesson from her, and now she wants to kill Eliyahu in order to guarantee his own recovery to good health. Ahaziahu attempted to kill Eliyahu by sending a group of 50 soldiers along with their captain. And they find Eliyahu atop a mountain, and this captain demanded that he descend upon orders of the king. To which Eliyahu responded in Pasuk Yod in verse 10, V'im esh elokim ani, tirid esh min hashamayim, v'tochal otzcha ve'et chamishacha. If I am a man of God, in other words, if my nevuah is true and will be fulfilled, then fire shall descend from the sky and consume you and your 50 soldiers. And that is exactly what happened, twice, this time and the next time, because Ahaziahu sent a second group of 50 soldiers along with their captain a second time after this. And this is the second time, and third time, we see Eliyahu playing with fire on a mountaintop, right? Just as he had done atop Har HaKarmel, back in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yudchet, chapter 18, and again, as he had experienced with Hashem atop Har Sinai in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yutet, chapter 19, right? Eliyahu seems to be very involved on mountains with fire. The third time, however, Ahaziahu sent a group of soldiers to Eliyahu. Instead of demanding that Eliyahu descend the mountain, the third captain was smart and instead begged him for his life and the lives of his 50 soldiers. Upon the bidding of Amalach Hashem, an angel of God, Eliyahu then accompanied the captain back to the king in order to deliver his prophetic message of Ahaziahu's imminent death to the king himself. And again, this demonstrates a complete reversal in the allegiances of the king's messengers, because initially they were all under Ahaziah's control. But then when, you know, intercepted by Eliyahu, or when reaching Eliyahu, they then submit to Eliyahu's control, which means that they submit really to Hashem's control. And this again demonstrates Hashem's supremacy over that of the Baal Zavuv. What's really interesting about this perek is that there are two shorashim, two root words that appear again and again. That of Allah, Ayin Lamed He, and Yarad, Yud Resh Talid. El-Hashahu fell down from his attic, and he won't descend again from the bed upon which he has ascended, contrary to Eliyahu, who is described five times as ascending when intercepting Ahaziah's messengers, and again when positioning himself atop the mountain from which he refuses to descend when Ahaziah's soldiers demand that he do so. And perhaps these particular verbs are repeated to signify the loss of Ahaziah's power and that of his Avodah Zarah, in contradistinction to the rise of Hashem's power, at least in Ahaziah's eyes, or at least in the messenger's eyes, in his captain's eyes, which is represented by Eliyahu Hanavi's ascendance. As we mentioned earlier, William Golding entitled his novel Lord of the Flies, which is the English translation of the name of the god Baal Zavuv. The novel is about a group of British schoolboys stranded on a deserted island who attempted to govern themselves but quickly descended into savagery and violence, abandoning civilization for primal fear and brutality. The belief that they believed that there was a monster on the island with them, and so on a hunting expedition, they decapitated a pig's head and put the head on the stake to serve as a sacrifice to the monster. After some time, understandably, the pig's head became covered with flies and became known in the novel as the Lord of the Flies. And it's interesting because just like the Baal Zavuv in our narrative, the Lord of the Flies in William Golding's novel also represents the power of evil and the ability to invoke evil within man. The perek ends with Ahaziah's untimely death, as prophesied by Eliyahu. And since Ahaziah died before he had any children who could be heirs to the throne, he was succeeded by his brother Yehoram. We will learn more about his reign in future Prakim Emirat Hashem. This year is dedicated by Michelle Levine and Susan Schuster and their families in memory of their beloved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Rebbetzin Gloria Leff, Golda Tzivia Bat Baruch. Rebbetzin Leff was a highly regarded principal and Torah teacher, a master educator, whose deep love for teaching Tanakh inspired hundreds of students throughout her lifetime.